All these Shanabed guys who are here for Shanabed Friday Seder. Big Ashkara to all of you. Somebody's calling somebody. Is it you?
No.
Are you recording? Okay. Very good. Oh, wow, Sammy. He's in quarantine. Okay. How are you feeling, Sammy? Okay, Baruch Hashem. Parsha Shmos, right? Our introduction to Moshe Rabbeinu, Sefer of Golos and Geula. And already, perhaps, you can see that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Makdim Refuah L'Makkah. Here we are, we're going to Mitzrayim, but at the same time, we're starting the slavery Mitzrayim, not going into Mitzrayim, we're starting the slavery Mitzrayim, and we're introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu, who will, of course, be the transmitter of the Torah and Har Sinai from Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'd like to say a few different ideas and try to put them all together. And we know that Moshe's shining characteristic is Anu B'Kol Adam, he's humble. And where did that come from? Where did we see it from his early beginnings? And we spoke this week at Rechmetzer in the Shmuz, spoke to Shabbat Yigdal, Hayelah, Vayetze Elachav, right? Vayom Hayem, Vayigdal Moshe, Vayetze Elachav, Vayar B'Sibloisim. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu went out to the Jews to see what's going on, and he felt their pain. Just imagine what where Moshe Rabbeinu was at that time. Moshe Rabbeinu was in Beis Paro. He was in the palace, Mamish. He was being taken care of by Bas Paro, the daughter of Paro. And he could have easily just pampered himself and enjoyed himself and relaxed and chilled out. But obviously he understood that he had a loftier purpose. He was there for a reason, and we're in this world for a reason. From Shimon Shkup and his Hakdama to Shari Yosha, which is a very Lamdish Sefer, and Lamdis, tells us that the tachlis of our lives is to follow in the ways of Hashem and to give to others. And obviously Moshe Rabbeinu had that innate feeling that what is he here for? He's not here to indulge and to enjoy himself and to hang out in the palace. He's here to give to others. And obviously that's why he was the ideal choice to be the leader to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim and to lead the Jewish people and to accept the Torah on their behalf and to transmit it to them. And we see this is Moshe Rabbeinu's life through and through. So there's an unbelievable medrash that I always like to say that really highlights this point. How Moshe Rabbeinu understood that he was just a piece in the puzzle, and that's why he was an Avnav, and that's why he was chosen to be the leader to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim and to bring them the Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu is able to save the daughters of Yisrael, the shepherds, so they come back to their father, and they say, you know, how did you get here so fast? And they said, Ish Mitzri. Ish Mitzri helped us. So one shot in the Medrash is that he was still wearing Mitzri clothing, and he was acting a little bit like a Mitzri, and there's a certain negative aspect to that. But the Medrash is a different shot. The Medrash says as follows. Medrash says a mushal. It says there was a person that was bit by a scorpion. And the remedy, the way to heal a scorpion bite is to go to the river and dip in the river and immerse in the river. Exactly what happened to it. I don't know. It's just as you go to the river, so that's the antidote for the poison from the scorpion. And he went to the river, and what did he see? He saw a child drowning in the river. And the child says, and he saves the child, and the child says, thank you very much. And the man says, don't thank me, thank the scorpion that bit me. Right? And that's the Pshat and Ish Mitzri. When the daughters of Yisrael thanked Moshe Rabbeinu for saving them, Moshe Rabbeinu says, yeah, no problem, I'm a man. You know, it's my pleasure. Obviously, you know, I'm great. I saved your life. You know, thank me. He didn't say, you're very welcome, and thank you very much for thanking me. He said, don't thank me, thank the Ish Mitzri. Which Ish Mitzri? The Ish Mitzri that hit the Jew. Because the Ish Mitzri didn't hit the Jew, so then I wouldn't have killed the Mitzri. I wouldn't have had to run away from Mitzrayim, and I wouldn't be here to help you. So the deflection of praise, the understanding that Moshe Rabbeinu is just a piece in the puzzle, understanding why is he in Midian, why was he in the right place at the right time to see the doors of Yitzhak? Not because he's great. That's not about him. It's not about him. It came, obviously, it's from the Ish Mitzri, but obviously the Ish Mitzri was there because of Hashem. Again, it did start with him going out of the palace, for sure. He took the first step, but he didn't take any of the credit. Everything we do in life, all the results of the things that we do in our life, Moshe Rabbeinu taught us, the Medrash teaches us, is all because of the Siyata Dishmaya of Hashem. All we have to do is, we have to try our best. The results at the end, the results are not up to us. You also see that, Vayelech Ishim Beis Levi, V'Kachlis Bas Levi. Right? We know that Miriam was credited for encouraging her parents to get back together again. And he said, your Gezerah is worse than Paro. Paro said, he'll kill all the Jewish male babies. But you, by not having children, you're going ahead, and you're making sure that you're not even going to have a daughter. go ahead and have children, right? And the Chofetz Chaim points out the same thing by the king, Chizkiyahu Melech, who said that he's going to have a child of Rosh Menasheh, and he, Benevuah, from Yishayahu. So he said, no, I don't want to have children. But what happened? Right? That was Yishayahu. He also had a child named Yoshiyahu. And Yoshiyahu was the greatest king. It came right after Chizkiyahu. What do you see from here? What's the message of the Chizkiyahu Melech was told, you don't have to worry about the results. That's not your business. You got to go ahead and do your job. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu also taught us, that he's just filling his role and doing what he can. And that's why he's honored to call him. Obviously, his role is a very important role. But the key is that what are we doing here? We're here to fulfill our role in this world. And the results and with the situations and the backgrounds and all the different variables that we find ourselves in, the generation that we find ourselves in, that's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All we have to do is try our best. Who else showed us that in this week's parasha? Bas Paro, right? What did she do? She saw this baby. She had a certain glow, light floating in the Nile. She said, I can't get that. I can't do it. What did she do? Right? She went ahead and she stuck out her hand. She tried her best. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed her that the results were that she was the one who saved Moshe Rabbeinu. Obviously, ripple effect. Brought Moshe Rabbeinu to the house. I think you see a very, very important lesson over here. First of all, you got to try, and the results are not necessarily your... Both, you don't have to worry about the results, and also don't take full credit for the results. That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and live with that level of anava. And number two, that the person has to try, and then the results are from him. And that will obviously lead you to be a tremendous, tremendous anav. Now, I was just thinking on the way here that the events of this past week's current events, certainly in America, it's, in my opinion, it's very sad. And I'll focus on one small thing. Here we have somebody who, you know, shares a lot of our views of, you know, I think very, you know, normal views on life. He understands terror is bad. He understands capitalism is good. Like, obviously, he's a tremendous friend of Israel. He mamish has his head screwed on straight. He's gewaldic. Mamish gewaldic. But what? This is obviously, and it's sad to see it, right? Hakina va'ataiva, and most importantly, va'akovod, motinus adam olam. Honor takes a person out of this world. If you're so focused on honor and gaiva, right? If you think that it's all you, you're the man, right? That you control everything, that you put yourself in this crazy, in this terrible danger of ruining everything and taking yourself out of the world. You had a person who had all the great things that he did in office were unbelievable. We're like, the Mishnah of Kol Boreach Min HaKavod HaKavod Holach Achrav. Somebody runs away from Kavod, so Kavod runs after you. If you run for Kavod, if you look for honor, sin runs away from you. You see it so clearly, right? It's scary that he had, and obviously, we're talking about somebody who's so talented. If I remember correctly, the original story was he was somewhat insulted from the previous president, and that was what encouraged him to go for, you know, go run for office. Nobody ever thought the president would win, and the man, it's unbelievable. It's never been done. Ross Perot. Anybody know the name Ross Perot? Right? Anybody know the name? Right? You know how many times he tried to win the office? He was a wealthy person. Nothing doing. Like, not even, it was a joke. You know, I don't even know if you know who Ross Perot is. But like, nobody ever think, yeah, when he first started talking about winning office. I mean, this is somebody who has such talent. And he has amazing, amazing ideas, amazing views. And he did great things. So obviously, you see that his supporters are very think he did a great job also, right? But what happened? What happened? It got to his head. He wasn't like Moshe Rabbeinu. He wasn't. Moshe Rabbeinu, anytime he was successful, he said, it's not me, it's the Shemitri. Obviously, going back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, helped me get to this point, deflecting all the praise. And when you see, look around, and you see successful people, right, when it gets to the head, I was just reading this recently, I forgot where it was. Oh, in the Gemara, right? The Gemara was talking about what was the Gemara talking about? When you get too wealthy and then it gets to the head. And what are we just learned in Arvei Pesachim. What was the Gemara? We just had an Arvei Pesachim. One second. Not about the wealth. Yo, Korach, right. Korach. What happened? Korach, right? The first treasure, the Yosef, right? The third treasure saved the Asalavo. Obviously quite big, right? Korach's treasure, right? Needed 300 donkeys, right? Just for the keys to the treasure. And what happened? Right, Korach, and he was a chashuv guy. Can you imagine? He was the wealthiest. right? And he was the man. And what happened? If I'm so wealthy, I must be the man. I got to be ahead of Moshe and Aaron. I got to start with him. What kind of ridiculous thing is that, right? What kind of ridiculous thing? Right, in contrast, look at Moshe Rabbeinu. He's in the palace. What do you say? I don't want to hang out in the palace. I want to go with my brethren. I want to see how they're doing. And I want to put myself out there. Right? And to the extent that I'm going to save them, I'm going to have to be a fugitive. I'm going to have to run away. Unbelievable. Why? Because that's not what I'm here for. I'm not here to pamper myself. I'm not here for the honor. Right? I'm here to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to fulfill my role in this huge puzzle called the world, called HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. And that's what you have to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. And when you go ahead and you say to yourself, what's my avoda? What's my avoda? Right? As the Messiah Sharm starts, Ma chovos b'yolami. What is my avoda? And then just to bring out something else from this week's parasha, right? In the first parak of Messiah Sharm, it tells us that, right? It talks about Zahirus. So what is the biggest impediment for Zahirus? Confusion and being busy and not thinking. And who else knew that? Paro knew that. Havu nischaklo. Let's be bright. Let's be intelligent about this. We know that there's a lot of Jews now in Mitzrayim, and I'm very worried. Says Paro, this is going to be a major mutiny over here. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep them so busy that they won't be able to rebel. Why? Because when a person is busy, and a person is in the huddle and confusion and lacks clarity, then everything. Then he won't be able to. Have it. He won't be able to think clearly. He won't be able to realize that. Hey, we can rebel as a people and overthrow the king, because if you keep him busy, you can't realize what's right, what's wrong. And this is the pshat. We all know what our avoda is. You said, right? Machovaso ba'olama. What is our obligation? We know we're here to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He created the world and he gave us mitzvot, which are great for us, right? We just heard, right? These are not restrictions, this is a relationship. This is all about serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we know, and everybody here knows it, and everybody knows, when you're davening well, when you're learning well, when you're doing chesed, you feel good. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in a way, when we do Torah mitzvot properly, we're on the right path, we feel good. We feel good. But what happens? We get distracted, we get confused, the world, our surroundings, our background, and this, and that. And we lose sight of our priorities, and we lose sight of what's right and what's wrong. But what do you have to do? And the key is first of all to be able to think and to realize, what is my obligation in this world? How did I get here? My parents, they're the ones who sent me to yeshiva. The yeshiva, they helped me. The Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and obviously going back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains me. And he says, if you want a good life, serve me. And Moshe Rabbeinu obviously realized that. And he took those tools, and he helped people on it, obviously on a very small level in the beginning. A few people here, right? The Ishmael, the Jew who's been hit by the Mitzri, the daughters of Yisrael, but obviously it showed that was his life goal. His life goal was to be Metiv, to give to others, like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? Mahu Racham, Afata Racham, just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is merciful, we also have to follow his ways. That's our avoda in this world. But what happens is we get distracted, and we get involved in things like Kina, and Taiva, and Kavod, and Motzirus Adam and Olam, then you lose the total lack of clarity. Just to bring it back to us, that you think about what's going on, and it was another side point, right? This whole vaccine situation, right? It's so unbelievable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us. Everybody's like, oh, the vaccine. Everybody can chill out and relax. It's the exact opposite. It's certainly in Eretz Yisrael. It's worse. It's, again, I don't want to say the worst it's ever been, but Sukkot's time also, they said 9,000 cases a day. Now it's 8,000 or whatever, 8.5 the other day. But like exactly right, we think we're in control. Ah, we have the vaccine. Guess what? There's not a vaccine. There's not enough vaccines here. There's not enough vaccines there. And even when you're getting the vaccine, you still there's no such thing as us controlling things, right? What's our biggest downfall? Kochiv otzim yadi osli asachal hazeh. It's our power. It's our strength. We're doing it. No. You follow Moshe Rabbeinu's shita. When you do somebody a favor, it's a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Give me the hands. Give me the eyes. Give me the legs to get here to help you, right? When you say. Right, and somebody says thank you. Yeah, sure, no problem. It's all me. And the more we do that, the greater an honor will be, and the greater. And obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu, who received the Torah to transmit it to us, right? Honor we call Adam. That's the way to accept the Torah. If a person thinks he's all of that, he's the man, right? It's not possible to connect to Torah. It's only possible to connect to Torah. The person realizes that he's being his whole life is filled with siyata d'shamaya and help from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And just to bring it home, which I was about to say before, the world is going. Nuts in so many ways. The person can say, oh, what's going to be? The Democrats and this and world this and world that. Tachlis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. Okay, on a global level. What's going to be? Who knows? Who knows the economy? Who knows? Yeah, it's nice to talk about it. But all those global things, all those universal ideas, they really have no day-to-day influence around Baruch Hashem. We still have to daven properly. We still have to learn properly. We still have to do chesed, like we said, yesterday. The Torah stands on three pillars. Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasodim. How are you learning? How are you davening? And how are you doing chesed? Yeah, it's nice to think. It's nice to talk about, you know, world peace and the economy and all those, you know, all those other things. But when it comes down to the day-to-day, even the minute-by-minute, a person has to know, Ma chovasi b'olami, what is my obligation in this world? To serve Hashem. All the other stuff is just, okay, sometimes, you know, when there's a friend of Israel in office, we think it's a little bit easier. When it's not, we think it's going to be a little bit harder. As a nation, there's no question about it. We can daven, we can learn, more explicit, right? We know, stam. Ein paronis boli olam ela b'shvi Yisrael. Everything is a result and a reflection of our avoda as a nation. Okay, but we can't, we do hold kol Yisrael b'im zeh b'zeh. Again, we can't influence the whole world, but at least we can influence ourselves. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya to always have clarity in life, to realize hakinah v'ataiva v'akovud motzinus olam olam. Our key is to do our avoda, and if you're doing avoda, you should just be happy about it. You don't have to flaunt it, right? But once you're doing the right thing, and you'll know it, you'll feel good about yourself. And the siyata d'shmaya, if all of us do our avoda, b'schus that we should be zochah to see the gula shem of him. Have a good Shabbos.